Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock of God.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rock, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Kitaka Aikuto. Onegai shimashita.
What? Ojigana Mata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin'.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kiss your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Everybody, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and Memorabilia Lane. Go to MemLanePromo.com and put in the code ROCKSOCK and you'll get some nice, awesome autograph photos for about $7.
Eight bucks.
I'm still getting used to this. At least I got the website right. Joining me this evening, as always, as you heard, is my awesome producer, Rock.
How's everybody doing tonight?
And also joining us this evening, because we have a very special guest, is the man behind Terrified himself, the creative genius that we're very excited to talk to, Mr. Matt Goldberg. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you there?
Doing awesome. Very happy to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This is really exciting, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
So we talked to Tara last week, and she gave us a lot of great info on documentary, and we just wanted to get them more because I don't know about a lot of people, but Rock and I are very excited to see Terrified, and I was wondering if you could maybe just give us a little background information on it and tell us a little bit more about it.
Okay. First of all, I'm really happy to hear that you guys like it and are eager to see it. That means a lot to me. So it's a very exciting project that I'm really happy to be a part of. It actually started as a project for school. It was my senior thesis film in college. And I just came to Lisa one day and asked her if she'd be interested in me doing a documentary about her, because I've been a fan of wrestling since I was little. And I've always noticed, especially as I've gotten older and gotten to be behind the scenes a little bit, how just the women, in my opinion, aren't as showcased as much as the males are. And I wanted to kind of talk to one of the largest females in the industry and really figure out how she got into it, what she feels about the business, and her view on everything and her role, so to speak. The film's really about what it's like to be a female in a male-dominated industry and how she's gotten where she is today and what her co-workers like Brooke, Tess Musser, Taryn Terrell, Eric Bischoff, and others feel about working with her and how she's really made her career over the years. Or questions, I guess, did you have that you'd want me to touch more on that? I know she covered a lot, too.
Yes, she did. What was the one thing that inspired you to just pick Tara? Because we know you did the Pope before. What was the biggest inspiration to pick Tara out of everybody on that roster?
I picked Tara because she's considered the true legend and icon amongst female wrestlers in the industry, and she is also one of the wrestlers I got to know best while being backstage at TNA, and I really had a lot of respect for her. And like I said before, I just really always had that question in the back of my mind about why the females aren't as showcased as the males and how they really do that and what motivates them to do what they do, so to speak. And I figured she would just be a perfect one. I mean, I've seen her backstage and how well she gets along with everybody and how a lot of people look up to her and how she's highly regarded and one of the most well-respected females out there. And I have the utmost world respect for her, and she's a pleasure to work with. And it's just really exciting where the film has gone from a little school project to now being in high demand on the internet and stuff. So it's really exciting.
It's always cool to be big on the internet.
It's even cooler that, you know, a little project for school blew up into something so amazing, because I know the Pope documentary went to Cannes, I believe.
Yes, that is true. That was really exciting for me, just because this is, well, the Pope was really my first it was my first documentary I've ever done, my first time ever really playing with that side of film.
Wow.
Yeah. he was
I think
a pleasure
you have
to
a
work
future
with
in it,
too.
Sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, just seeing all the people commenting how much they want to see it really means a lot to me and is really inspiring me to keep doing what I'm doing.
It's awesome.
But hers, Terrified, is blown up way more than mine with Pope has, and just every day there's something new, and it's just so exciting.
And can you kind of maybe share with us, did you learn anything during the process while you were talking to Tara's coworkers and herself about Tara or about the business or what it's like to really be a woman in a male-dominated sport?
Huh. Let's see. I definitely learned plenty. It's very eye-opening to me. What was interesting about talking to people like Brooke and Taryn, along with Lisa herself, was how they kind of compared the WWE to TNA, just how they have more airtime on TNA and how they feel they have more of a say and stuff. And it's just really interesting to see how they just feel like they're more well-respected here and they don't feel like they're only getting 2 minutes of airtime sort of thing.
Right.
And they really get to showcase their specialty. Even people like Eric Bischoff, he was saying how Lisa is just one of the most highly respected athletes in the ring because she not only makes herself look good, but she makes her opponent look good, and that's why she's so highly regarded as a female athlete.
Right.
Those
now,
just a few of the things, yeah, that I learned along the way.
Now, I'm just kind of curious because when we talked to Lisa last week, she mentioned that you're still filming it. How long do you anticipate filming it for, or are you just about wrapped on it?
Well, with the film, I covered so far with her the wrestling aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, to make it more interesting, I really want to show the audience what it's like outside of the ring that you don't see on TNA every Thursday.
Right.
I mean, you'll see some backstage stuff that I filmed with her and the others. But to me, I think it's going to be even more interesting to show how she's not just that superstar you see, but she's a real person and she deals with all the same things we do. Like, I filmed with her yesterday at her restaurant so far to kind of show a before and after with the Squared Circle, her new restaurant. So she kind of walked me through it to show you guys what it will be like or how she envisions it. And then once the grand opening is there, I'm going to film with her there and show just this huge project in her life that she's trying to establish besides just being a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with her and her publicist on things. It's just really cool to see how she's just redefining her image besides just being a wrestler. And I think that's really neat and such a great thing. I mean, I know when I was working with Pope, he's doing movie roles and things like that. And I think that's great that they're stepping out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I really want to capture that with her and show the audience that there's other things in her life too besides wrestling, and that she's just such a great person overall.
Something I'm curious about it. When did you become a pro wrestling fan?
When did I become a wrestling
fan?
Yes,
when did you actually become a pro wrestling fan?
I would say probably at the age of 4. I'm 22 now.
Right.
So I've been watching it a lot. I don't watch it, I'd say, religiously. I keep up with it, of course, because I love it. But as I've gotten older, I just really come to love the business aspect of it. And being fortunate enough to be behind the scenes, it was really eye-opening and just a great opportunity that I'm really, really thankful for. But I just love it.
Who were some of your favorites growing up, just by chance?
Well, my two top favorites are Goldberg, obviously, and Hogan. Those are my two top favorites, but I love people like The Undertaker, Sting, Macho Man.
Right, all the classics, yeah.
I love the classics. I love learning about the old guys. It's one of my favorite things about the business,
right.
Just learning about the stuff. Like my dad, he got me into it when I was little, and I collected the toys.
Yeah, I know. The toys were great.
Yeah. And I love them. I still have a ton of them. But when I started making the classic guys, I'd buy them, and my dad would kind of teach me about each guy who I didn't know, and I just thought that was so cool. And it's just fun learning about it. I just love it.
So it must have been a thrill to you to go to TNA. And was Hogan there while you were filming? Did you get to talk to him at all?
Yeah, well, I met him at a show in 2006 when I was like 16 or so, and then I did meet him at TNA. Eric Bischoff got me into the business, really. I don't know if Lisa touched on that with you, but Eric Bischoff discovered me on YouTube a few years ago, and I built my relationship with him.
Okay.
And since I went to college in Tampa, and then I found out Eric and Hogan were going to TNA, I called them up, and he kind of helped hook me up with them, and that's how I started my opportunity with them. And I got to meet Hogan, which I still get really shy around him just because he's been a childhood hero of mine. So,
right.
It just felt surreal to be there with the guy you grew up watching as a kid. It's
so
crazy.
So I'm curious to know, is obviously, like I said, you did a documentary with Pope. You're working on one with Tara/Lisa right now. Are you planning to do more? Is this kind of a venture that you're planning to work with TNA on? Or are you going to kind of move on from here?
Right now, I think I would like to move on once I finish with Terrified, just because I don't want to limit myself to just wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'd definitely be open-minded to doing more in the industry somewhere. But I think to make me a better, well-rounded filmmaker, I mean, I've made my little short narrative films and my motion animated videos over the years, but I'd definitely like to step more into narrative production. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing a film like The Wrestler or something that's a narrative story that still touches on the business somehow. I think that would be cool.
That would be cool.
So outside,
I mean, I love that movie too.
That was a good movie. Outside of wrestling, what is the one thing you're most interested in? What's the next thing outside of wrestling that you want to really sink your teeth into?
Definitely film and movies, I guess. I mean, I've had a passion for film since I was about 13 or so, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I fell in love when I saw Toy Story as a kid. I originally wanted to do that sort of thing. But that was, I learned a little bit of the 3D animation that was super complicated, not really my thing. And I just stuck with it throughout high school and college, and it turned into a really good skill for me. So I'd really love to venture out into that and hopefully maybe one day make my own features. But I never expected just a film for school to turn into almost a legit project. I mean, all the buzz online and people at TNA are really interested in it, and I'm just to them, I'm just a college kid hanging out backstage and then make a movie with them and turn them into something. So I feel like I definitely come across the craft that I'm good at, and I would really love to stick with it and see where it goes.
Absolutely. Lisa was very complimentary of you when we talked to her last week. I don't know if you had a chance to hear the interview at all, but she was...
I did.
She was very complimentary, and so I think that's awesome. You can make that kind of impression on her and really anybody, and just to do that is really kind of neat and cool.
Thank you. It's great to hear those words come from her mouth, because I didn't really know that from her. I mean, I know she, from what I remember, she mentioned how she just expected as a college kid that it was just going to be a typical school project sort of thing, and she was really impressed, and that made me really happy to know that I really made a lasting impression on someone like that with my work, considering I'm young and still learning as I make more. I mean, I'm not perfect at the craft yet, but to have people feel this good about my stuff already just motivates me and inspires me to keep doing it. And I'm really excited to see where the future goes and what people I work with too.
Speaking of Lisa, she had comments for you after our show, and she posed a question, and we're going to let her ask the question right now.
And Lindsay, too. Ask him why he chose me. I never asked him. I'm kind of curious.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Why he picked me. I'm curious why he picked me, so I'd like to hear that, you know?
So why?
Why did I choose Lisa? Well, I know, as I mentioned earlier, that she's just highly regarded as a female in the industry. But I think what really did it for me, which was one of my favorite parts of being backstage at TNA, was who really treated me the best, I should say. I mean, guys I looked up to or didn't really watch or care for as a kid, so to speak, it would make or break my views on them by meeting them. If they gave me the time of day, I just respected them even more. And Lisa was one of those that didn't treat me like a kid. She treated me the same, and I just gained a lot of respect for her. And then I began to take even more of an interest in her, considering I did watch her growing up. And to know that she considered a legend amongst her peers, like Brooke,
right,
saying how she used to watch her as a kid, and I thought that was really funny, like we had that in common. And just to hear how much people really respect her really opened my eyes to her. I mean, I didn't know a ton about her growing up. I never really paid that much attention to the female wrestlers when I was younger. But as I got older and learned the business more, I started opening my eyes to it, and she seemed like a great person, especially I got to know her more to work with, and it's one of my favorite friendships and relationships I've built the past, I don't know, like 5-6 months or so, and it just turned into something really great, and I love her to death and respect her so much. And she really is just, she's such a great wrestler and a great athlete and just a great person overall who respects her peers so much, and she's not one of those wrestlers who think they walk on water sort of thing. She's very down to earth, and I feel like I'm like that too. I like to treat everybody the same sort of thing, so I see a lot of similarities in us, and I think that's why we get along so well, and probably why I really felt to reach out to her over the others there.
Right.
She just stood out to me.
Now you're still in school, correct?
No, I graduated in December.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm fresh out of school.
So, do you have any plans to either go to, say, Hollywood or New York? Because I think, if I found the right LinkedIn profile, you're in Chicago, correct?
That's
or you're
correct.
From Chicago?
Yeah, northern suburbs of Illinois.
Okay. So do you have plans to kind of stay there, or are you going to maybe, once you're done with the documentary, go out to Hollywood or go to New York, or?
Well, right now I'm sort of on the ropes in terms of either looking for a career or looking back into going to school just to strengthen my skills even more and see where I could maybe land a job that way. But I definitely started talking to people like Eric Bischoff to see if I could work with them on possible television show in the future or something to get my feet wet in the industry. But I mean, this film, I'm really excited to see where it's going. It's already going to some film festivals, and I know Lisa was talking to another show about it possibly going somewhere in New York, so I wouldn't mind following it if there's opportunities wherever. I mean, I don't want to just run out to Hollywood and hope and pray like everybody else trying to make films, so I'm not one of those to just run first. I like to look into it and see kind of where it takes me, sort of thing. I'm very open-minded to any opportunity that comes my way.
Right, and just I'm curious because, like I said, Rock and I definitely want to see this when it comes out, when it's finished. I mean, the snippets that we've seen online just look absolutely fantastic. Do you know about when you're considering releasing it? And where it's going to be shown or how it's going to be distributed, if it's going to be online, if you're going to do DVDs, have you thought that far in advance yet?
To be honest, well, I think we'll probably wrap filming within the next few months, I'd imagine. It just depends how much of the personal aspect I'd like to capture and what I want to capture.
Right.
If I'm able to, but I'd love for it to be on DVD or on iTunes or something. I mean, the version that I finished right now for school is going to film festivals, but that's not the official version that I would want to necessarily release to the public fully. But I'd have to probably talk to TNA and see if they could help me distribute it and where they could help me put it.
Right.
I'd love for it to be on DVD or iTunes. I definitely don't want it just to appear on YouTube or something silly like that.
The film festival it's going to by chance isn't Sundance, is it?
No, not, I wish.
Sorry. I'm in Salt Lake, so it's like, ooh, I wonder if he's going to send it to Sundance. That would be awesome because I can just drive down to Park City.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to. I mean, I should look into it. It's going to one in Palm Beach, Florida already, and I'm working on it going to Cannes.
Right.
But honestly, anywhere it could, I should look into more festivals. I haven't really done a ton of research on the festivals yet, but I'm just really eager to see where it goes. I mean, I'll definitely keep you guys posted if it does end up going to somewhere like Sundance, but I'd hope it would be ready by the end of the year at the latest.
That would be awesome. I would love to be kept in the loop so that way when it does come out, we can run out, we can get it, and we can watch it. Because, like I said, I'm excited. I think it looks amazing. I mean, I hate to gush over you, but I've always been curious about these types of films and to see more documentaries to show kind of what life wrestlers go through, because one of my favorite sayings is wrestlers are people too, and I think a lot of fans forget that they're people, they're human beings, they're just like us, they put their pants on one leg at a time. And so to see a documentary like this that you've done about Lisa and of course about the Pope is very cool to see.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's one of my goals with the film, is to show that she's a person. She's not just Tara that you see all the time. But the whole distribution thing is also very new to me, as I've never had a film be this successful yet, so I'm still learning as the process goes on, but I'm definitely interested in it going wherever it can. I mean, I'm also thinking maybe talking to Eric Bischoff since he has experience in the television production industry and see if he could help me in some way.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything really.
Yeah, Eric is really big in television. He has like 10 shows, 6-10 shows on the air right now, something like that, his company.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. He got a ton of stuff, and they're doing the new Hardcore Pawn show mm-hmm. in Chicago and just kind of stuff they do.
Alright, I'm going to put you on the hot seat right now. What is your favorite Victoria / Tara / Lisa wrestling moment?
Favorite moment? Well, probably one of my favorite stories that I learned while doing the documentary and from watching her when I was younger was her in the banana suit. that was probably one of my favorite moments to learn more about. Mm-hmm. And just watching it now when I know her, it's so much funnier to me to see her silly like that, because that's really how she is. She's silly and she's just so fun, and it just really shows that she's not just a wrestler, and I think that is probably one of my favorite moments about her, that she could step out of her comfort zone and be silly.
Yeah, she's done it a few times. It's great. she's a great personality. When she's able to put those moments on TV, it's fantastic.
She's definitely one of the nicest wrestlers I've ever met, and I've met a ton over the years. She's seriously just such a wonderful person.
She is. We had a blast talking to her, and we've had a blast talking to you as well. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So, everybody, check this man out, Matt Goldberg. Look out for Terrified, because it's going to be amazing. Check out his documentary. I'm sorry, the name is escaping me on the one that you did on the Pope.
Oh, that's it's called Pope Against All Odds, and it just follows him during the 2011 Against All Odds pay-per-view.
Okay. If you can find it, which is it out anywhere that you can see it?
No.
Oh, no?
Yeah, I'd have to talk to him about that.
Okay.
He wanted me to keep it more on the down low.
You can also follow Matt on Twitter. I believe it's at MBG Films.
Correct.
Yes. Make sure to follow him on the Twitters. He's very active on there. So follow him and keep up to date on everything he's up to.
Yes, and keep your eye out for this man, because I have a really big feeling he's going to be huge in Hollywood or huge in the film industry. And we'll get to say one day that we knew you when, or we got to talk to you when. So
thank you, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So on that note, we are going to take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact. So everybody stay tuned and listened, and you're listening to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Whoa, ho, ho, everybody. Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com, reminding you that every Friday night, we get deep. That's right, have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m., with my wake-up call, we talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppens, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Speak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Boys talking down, on the sidelines watching, wishing they was playing the game we playing, but it's all good though. Paul Wow, Brooke, what up baby?
Well, this is Paul Wow.
Now.
Elvis talking.
Now. Okay, hey. What it do? I hear the commentators on the side chatterboxing. Power Wild and Brooke got all the paparazzi watching.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and Memorabilia Lane. Go to memlanepromo.com, put in the code ROCKSOCK, and you'll get some amazing autographed photos from some great TNA superstars. I believe it's Kurt Angle, Ken Anderson, and RVD for about $8.
Hey, you got it right.
I got it right.
She got it right, ladies and gentlemen.
Hot damn.
And yes, I had to bring us back to a Brooke Hogan song because tonight's all about Brooke.
Tonight is all about Brooke, but you know what? Speaking of getting it right, TNA got Impact right tonight. Oh my goodness.
Holy crap, they did. This was a fantastic show. And the one thing, I put this out on Twitter before we get it really into it. They made this night seem important.
They did. It was wedding night, and it was all about the wedding, but it wasn't too much about the wedding,
no.
Which was great.
And they built up to it piece by piece by piece, as we'll get through as we recap the show, just moment by moment by moment, and it was done perfect. And the ending, nice.
Oh my god, the ending. Nobody saw that coming.
No one
saw
it.
Nobody.
No one. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
But before we get there, there's an open to the show.
There is an open to the show.
So we start out with the graphic of Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray greeting us before we go to the back. Which, by the way, that graphic with the invitation and the chain around it with the cheesy picture of Brooke and Bully, that's amazing. Props to whoever did that, because that's awesome.
That was awesome.
better graphic than WWE has done in a while.
They got the cheesiness right.
They did. They totally did. It's like, Bully's like, I can't smile any bigger. My face will break. But anyway, we get to the back, and Bully Ray's in his dressing room, and he's getting ready. You know, he's admiring his tux. And who walks in the room?
But the one, the only...
Spike Dudley.
Or, as JSK would call him, Spoke Dudley.
Yes, Spoke is back, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little Dudleyville family reunion. Spike walks in the room. Bubba admonishes him for his glasses. I have to call him Bubba here because it's the Dudleys.
Yeah, it's Bubba. It's Bubba.
And shortly after Spike, well, Tommy Dreamer, who I love in my recap, fresh off his Shield beatdown, is in the room, and they can't believe that Bully Ray is getting married. And I commented to Raw, it's like, holy crap, it's a bigger reunion than Raw 20.
EC Dub.
Which, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, EC Dub, yeah, that's about it. It's your reunion right there.
Which I liked. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was great.
Like, okay, Tommy Dreamer was big on Twitter this week, talking up the bachelor party because he was there with them, and he was talking up, you know, he's going to be there. It's like, cool, we're going to get to see Tommy Dreamer. He's going to get another shot on TV. Hardcore. Hardcore Extreme Tommy Dreamer on television for another television program in a span of 3 weeks. Awesome. Great job. Awesome, Tommy Dreamer. But when Spike walked in, I was like, holy crap, it's Spike Dudley.
I know, nobody was expecting Spike. That was the thing, like, they did things tonight that nobody was really expecting, which was perfect. Because it's like, okay, and what's great is Spike walked in first. You didn't get Dreamer first, you got Spike first.
Exactly, you got the little runt himself. The only thing that's changed, he's gone gray.
He has.
Our Spike is all grown up. God, I feel old now.
Yeah, I know. You're sitting there and you're like, wow, Spike Dudley's gray. I feel old.
Yeah.
But loved the opening segment. It was great. And then they cut right from Bully to Brooke. You know, her bridesmaids are getting ready. And, of course, her bridesmaids are Mickey, Christy, and Miss Tessmacher. And then Miss Tessmacher, of course, asks if, well, Daddy's going to be there. And things get a little awkward.
Yeah, it's a touchy little subject right there. Will Hulk Hogan show up, and will he be there? And, well, we found out. Well, we'll find out later in the show.
And that was TNA's question of the night. We'll get to our question of the night after our Impact recap, but...
Right.
After this, you have Jeff Hardy on his way to the ring. He reminds us this is a wrestling show and asks if we saw the Genesis main event. The crowd chants, "You still got it," at him. And the champ says the odds were stacked against him.
Hold on. Before you continue, I'm sorry. You still got it? Really? Really? He had a good match. Really? Anyway.
I'm sorry, look at who he was in the ring with. Just
yeah, but it... Yeah. Okay, continue, I'm sorry.
And that we, the creatures, make infringement, prevailed... I'm sorry. I'm not going to let that go. I am never.
And you shouldn't. They're not.
Let that go.
If you remember, Creature of the Night, it's The Undertaker. Just saying.
Right. Just because he's not around anymore doesn't mean you can steal his shit.
Exactly.
Hardy wants to keep it going when Frankie Kazarian and the new number one contender, Christopher Daniels, interrupt him. And by the way, I want that freaking Kazmania shirt. I want it.
This is the second style he's worn. He wore new school black and white. This week he wore classic yellow and red.
Everybody, tweet the TNA merch guy at Jimmy, JimmieJ. He is the... Look him up on Twitter. He is the merch guy for TNA. Tweet him and tell him we want this shirt so we can get it made and buy it.
Damn right.
And include Kazarian in it, too, just to give him that ego boost.
Yes, at Frankie Kazarian.
At Frankie Kazarian. But yes, this made this promo just absolutely fantastic, because, you know, it's Kaz and Daniels. How can you go wrong?
You can't. You really can't. They were great tonight.
The only thing was we did not get an Appletini.
No Appletini, but, well, yeah. Continue.
Anyway... Kaz reminds Hardy that in 1 week, just 1 week, Christopher Daniels is going to become the new TNA champion. Daniels then calls Hardy Jefferson, which was great.
Oh my god, I lost it when he called him Jefferson.
Running down, I assume Daniels runs down his credentials.
Mm-hmm.
He's the man that sent AJ Styles away. He beat James Storm on the pay-per-view. And then Dano says when he wins the championship, he'll give the Creatures of the Night permission to worship him. Don't worry about it. We already do. Saying, I would have your kittens. Hardy then tries to attack Daniels, but Kazarian cuts him off. They double. Then your former World Tag Team Champions of the World, a.k.a. Bad Influence, a.k.a. Appletini Express, then double-team Hardy, and that's when the cowboy himself, James Storm, decides to do the run-in for the save. Storm picks up a mic and challenges Bad Influence to a tag match. Canyles try to walk away. when the champ and Storm stop them and bring them back inside the ring. And this leads you to your first contest of the evening.
All right, before we get to the first contest of the evening, besides Jefferson, one, Daniels now calls himself the Thursday Night Delight.
I squeed for that.
I figured you did. And number two, he called James Storm Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bravo, Daniels and Kazarian. Bravo. As always, bravo, bravo, bravo. Jefferson and Jimmy. Wow.
This is what happens when you let... And I'm sure everybody's just rolling their eyes going, oh my god, really? It's just two marks squeeing over Kaz and Daniels. But I'm sorry, this is what happens when you just let awesome occur.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kaz and Daniels equal money, at least to me. They've always been fantastic, but them becoming a tag team, best thing ever.
It really is. And they had a really good matchup with Storm and Hardy.
They did. The opening contest between Storm and Hardy versus Bad Influence was just great. But then again, how can you really go wrong?
You can. You got four great wrestlers in the ring, and I included Jeff Hardy in that category. Because at times, he's good. If you get him there with the right guy, he's really good. Because he can take a beating like no one else can in wrestling.
Except for maybe Dolph Ziggler.
True. We had, you know, they went back and forth. The wind saw James Storm leap over the top rope to take out the Daniels. Which we noticed he grabbed his knee a little bit, so maybe he's hurt. Hopefully he's not. But Hardy was able to hit the Twist of Fate to score the victory on Kazarian. After the matchup, Daniels and Kazarian attacked. Daniels hit the Angel's Wings onto the fake world title belt, and then held up the world title belt, and then posed on top of Jeff Hardy.
Which is awesome. I need to go back and screen cap that because that's just amazing.
He's just sitting there posing, yeah. And then Tanae posed this question: how unbearable would Daniels be as the world heavyweight champion?
I would totally be okay with that. Just pointing that out. Because then we can have him back on the show.
Damn right.
And I can hit on him some more. sorry, Mark. It's true.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, good open to the show. Got off to a good pace. The crowd was into it. Very enjoyable.
Yes, and after this, we get your gut check.
Gut check.
Bruce Pritchard, Also, and Taz are seen conversating from earlier today about Brett J. Bradley and Brian Cage. Basically, they're talking about who they're going to sign, how they're going to do this, blah, 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 usual gut check precursor. And then we see Cage and Bradley prepping backstage, and gut check is after the break.
But when we came back from break, we have Spike and Dreamer getting dressed for the wedding. Bully sniffs Spike a little bit and told him he still smells of booze and strippers. And then in walked Joseph Park.
Yeah.
He said if it weren't for him going to Hogan, he would never become a member of the Impact roster. He presented Bully with a box of fine Cuban cigars. Said they're not street legal and you better keep this on the kayfabe. Just saying.
Which his reaction to that was priceless. Who
was that?
What?
What's a kayfab? Then Park asked about a prenup, yes or no. Bully didn't really give an answer. But Joseph Park, Bully Ray, the facial reactions was perfect.
Oh, it was a great interaction, and it was perfect. It just, like I said, the way that they did the wedding the whole night was perfect. Which I should say before we get into it, the setup with the cake by ringside the whole night, that was an adorable cake topper. If somebody can tell me where they found that, I would like to know. Or somebody would steal that for me from the Impact Zone, email me, and I will give you my address. So you can send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to include Christopher Daniels or James Storm in that box, pay extra for shipping.
It's coming out of your paycheck if we have to pay for shipping.
Oh, man. Again?
Yes. Every time we have to ship you a wrestler, it costs us money, so next time it's coming out of your paycheck.
What, I don't bring in enough money as is?
No comment.
Anyway, it's gut check time. Bruce Pritchard congratulates Jay Bradley on winning, but he says winning isn't all that matters. He says that Cage had a tremendous outing, but it wasn't enough, and Brian Cage is out, to which Lindsay let out a yay, because Brian Cage is very good looking. Taz is up first with his decision on Bradley, and it's a no. Bradley then points viciously at Taz. Barash gives Bradley the chance to quote-unquote kick out, and Bradley says he's humped enough highways, he probably owes child support, and that he hypes his indie credentials and says that it's all brought him to the impact zone. He says he's trended worldwide on Twitter and wants to be let in. Al Snow then says Bradley has a personality and presence and that he has connected with the crowd. His answer is a yes, and it's 1-1. But the question is, Rock, did Jay Bradley make it in?
Well, did he?
Well, then Bruce Pritchard takes the microphone and he says Bradley has made the fans care. Both entities have passion, and Bradley has guts, and the answer is a resounding yes! Where's Daniel Bryan when you need him? Borash welcomes Bradley into the Impact Wrestling family, and handshakes are shared by all.
I liked how Taz was no.
Yeah.
No.
No reason.
No.
Just no.
Being
a little bit of a jerk tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked fine in his tux.
I guess the best man won.
You know, I would have taken either. It's not like we're really going to see much of Jay Bradley. They're going to ship him off to OVW if he's not already there. Because I think they're both in OVW, aren't they?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I don't keep track.
I think they are, so I'm sure we'll see both at some point. I mean, they're both experienced, they're both good, they're good hands in the ring. They'll be around.
Yes.
They'll be back.
Yes, they will. So. Yeah, it was like, Taz went, no. I was like, okay, Taz, okay.
Who's going to argue with you? Not me.
Oh, not me. Especially after tonight, not me.
Especially if tonight, after what happened. No, I'm not going to argue with you at all. You make that call.
Up next, however, it was a rematch from Genesis. It's Christian York taking on Kenny King.
And a great match.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
York is one of those that you can put him in the ring with anybody,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to make him look good, and it's going to be a good match.
Yeah, they had a solid match. It was good. Kenny King picked up the victory. Unlike he did at the pay-per-view.
Yes, so Kenny King on the way to the road to redemption, maybe to get another shot at RVD?
Quite possibly.
I wonder.
Possibly. As Van Damme told us, there is some unfulfilled business between the two of them, so...
There is.
But he also did tell us he's going to have to earn it, so maybe this is the process of him actually earning it.
Could be. And if he's got to earn it, I've got no problem watching that.
Yep. We go backstage and Bully Ray is talking to Sting of all people. And she's trying to talk Hulk Hogan into walking his daughter down the aisle tonight. He says he wants Brooke to be happy, but Hawk won't talk to him. But maybe, you know, Sting can do that. Sting said because of what he means to him, he will try. He said Hogan is digging his heels, but he'll try. And Bully basically said both he and Brooke thank him for doing such.
Right. Which, I get why he's not happy with the wedding, but come on, that's a little jerkish to not walk your daughter down the aisle.
It is. Damn you, Hogan. Damn you.
But after this, Taz abandons the commentary table.
Yeah, he
and
did.
Says he's got a lot of stuff to do tonight, and he can't be on commentary anymore. So he just ditches Tanay as he's saying, "History is in the making tonight." And after this, we had Anger Buddies 2.0, the TNA version.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Aries and Bobby Roode deciding what they're going to wear to the wedding. Which, I don't know why I found this hilarious, but I did. They argue over the Genesis main event, and Aries is upset that they're going to the celebrations and not having celebrations being thrown for them. Aries says, screw it, and he's going to wear all black, and Roode says, you can't wear black to a wedding, which, actually, you can't. I've done it a lot. maybe it's different for a girl. I don't know. Anyway, Aries calls it a funeral, and he promises to have a few objections.
Big word, that objection word. We heard it a lot later in the show. Objections.
He did. Speaking of objections, I should say, Hulk Hogan is shown walking into the Impact Zone 55 minutes late. The interviewer asks if he's here for the wedding, to which Hulk replies it was silence. The interviewer asks Hulk if he's going to give Brooke away tonight, and Hogan then tells him to get lost.
Yeah, find something better to do, brother. but then we go backstage. Bully Ray is talking to Spike as then he cleans it, tells him, you clean up really good. Bully joked that he was going to wear jeans and a plaid shirt, you know. Then Taz walked in, you know, in his nice spiffy tux, and he asked about Paul. Bully said he called him, and then he said he'd call him back. And then they all said in unison, in 5 minutes. Taking a shot right at Paul Heyman.
How can you not have an ECW reunion and give a shout out to Paul Heyman? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, apparently that's a rib on Paul Heyman, who was apparently notorious for blowing off people when they called by saying he'll call them back in 5 minutes, but then taking hours or days to actually call them back.
No shock.
No shock there at all, but, you know, Paul Heyman gets a shout-out on TNA.
Well, you know, with Dreamer showing up after just being on WWE TV, it's kind of not shocking at all.
No, it's not. Bully said Brooke is a mess because she wants her dad to be at the wedding. Taz says it's tough all around. Bully said he begs Dean to talk to Hulk for him. Bully said either way, he's marrying Brooke and his three brothers are there for him. And then Taz left saying he has, you know, Bully's going to get dressed and Taz has stuff to take care of. And, you know, we'll be all ready.
And, well, speaking of Sting, he's up next.
Mm-hmm.
Sting comes out, and I guess we're going to do this in the ring, where Sting comes out, and, well, he calls out the Hulkster after saying that he's here to address the tension.
Mm-hmm.
There's tension in the air, so he's going to fix it. After a very long walk, the Hulkster finally arrives in the ring. He tells Sting to cut the crap and poses. He wants to get down to business, brother. He brings up the history and the similarities between the pair. Sting says Ray has helped them out a bunch of times. He saved Hulk's ass. He saved Sting's ass. He saved Brooke's ass. More times than any of them can count. And Hulk says everyone, but Hulk just... he's not going to buy it. He goes on the social media that he pays no attention to, and everyone tells him he's right. He should watch his back. That Bully can't be trusted. And Hulk says it doesn't matter what Bully does, he's not going to trust him. He's just not. Brother.
Brother. Brother, brother, brother.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You can't trust Bully, Jack. Hulk then goes on to say that there's something not right with Bully. There's an energy dude, and that he's never, ever, 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 ever going to trust Bully. Sting says Hogan needs to do this for himself and for Brooke. Yeah. Sting says he needs to do this for himself and for Brooke. The chants fan... blah, 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 blah. Can't talk.
The crowd chants, do it, do it, do it.
Yes, over and over and over again. Hogan then gets mad and says he always does the right thing and drops the mic and leave, to which this started the doing the bubble of the love sponge wife was not the right thing tweets. Amazing.
Amazing how those just...
pop up.
Just pop up. Oh, well, we'll talk about it later, what he's also selling for, but we'll get into that later in the show.
Yes.
It accomplished a goal, even though Sting failed at his. Will he be there? Will he not be there? That's the question. Will he do the right thing? And what is the right thing? We'll find out.
Well, the Colette Sponge's wife. I can tell you that right now. And it's not the invisible girlfriend either.
You know, that's become a thing now on Twitter.
Yes, I've seen that.
Okay.
This is a little sidetrack, and then we'll go back to the Impact review. I was talking to my dad earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember when you sent me the Stevie Wonder thing about the girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
My dad made a joke at the exact same time that you sent me that thing. It's terrifying how much of a thing it's becoming. Like, the guy is a mockery. Just an absolute freaking mockery now. way to shoot yourself in the foot, dude.
I'm glad I have such great timing, too, by the way.
Yeah. You have awesome timing. Well done.
Thank you. Speaking of timing, backstage we have Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell, and Gail asks Taryn how long she's actually been in TNA. It's been about 6 months. Kim says she's been wrestling 13 years since she wanted to show her what she cost her at Genesis, so she pulled out her fancy-dancy iPad and showed her the footage that her foot was underneath the bottom rope during her 3 count against Velvet Sky. Kim said she did get a rematch from Brooke. Taryn said she'll call it right down the middle. Kim said she better do it because she better call it down the middle, or, you know, payback will be coming.
Paybacks are always a bitch.
They are. They really are.
And then after this, well, speaking of bitches, we get images of the bachelor party. Which, well, I want full video of this. I want to see it.
Yeah, seriously, where's the footage, guys? Come on. Bully Riot, Rick's Cabaret in New York City.
Put it up for hell's sake. Put it up either on YouTube or TNA.com. I want to see the footage of the bachelor party. I really do. Just to see what it's like to party with
Spike Dudley, Tommy Dreamer, and Bully Ray.
And Bully Ray, yes. in C, baby. But alas, we only get a few images of a bunch of women sitting on Bully Ray's lap, which undoubtedly made him happy.
Oh, of course. But then we get to imagine Velvet Sky and Gail Kim one-on-one.
In a really good match.
I enjoyed it. Gail Kim controlled the match, which she should, because, well, she's the more experienced veteran of the two, and she knows how to work a really good match, and they told, you know, a good story in the match where, at one point, Gail Kim hit, what's her finisher, Eat the Feet?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe it's called Eat the Feet. She went for the pinfall, but Velvet Sky's leg was underneath the bottom rope, and, you know, the referee Taryn Terrell noticed this time around, which caused Gail Kim to go, "Why didn't you notice it before?" So they did that the false finish there. Velvet Sky made her come back and hit In Your Face for the victory. So Velvet Sky continues on her winning streak by picking up the victory over Gail Kim. So there's no doubt that it's clear that Velvet Sky is now the number one contender without question for the TNA Knockouts Championship.
By the way, I'd just like to say this now. Velvet, red underwear under black mesh doesn't work. Yes, I do notice those things. Because I'm not busy looking at her boobs, I'm looking at everything else, and I do notice the fact of when somebody's wearing red underwear under black, because you can see it!
Okay, her boobs are right there, though.
They're not right next to her panty line!
Okay, but... Anyway.
See, this is what happens when girls watch other girls wrestle. We critique that. We're not busy looking at everything, because we all have the same parts. We're busy looking at everything else.
Can't top that.
Oh, come on. Like, you don't notice certain things on guys when they're wrestling because you're not checking the guys out.
No. No, I don't. I don't look for things. No, I don't. Except that they're really orange. It's the only thing I notice. I'm different than you. You're a female. You see different things.
Uh-huh. Sure. Anyway, speaking of females, because I have no transition for this, Dixie Carter is shown backstage, and she's taking the place of Linda Hogan this evening. She is talking about her Brooke's career with Brooke, and then they should. And then basically, the recapper says two people that should never be on TV fake crying. Dixie says that Hulk loves Brooke no matter what happens tonight. The wedding, and that the wedding is up after the break. God, what's wrong with me? And to call and text your friends.
Big things coming. It's the wedding time. It's time for a wedding here on TNA Impact.
Which I love how they do weddings in TNA. It's just kind of awesome.
They make it a big deal.
Ew.
They hyped up before we get to the wedding that next week it will be one-on-one for the World Heavyweight Championship. Jefferson Hardy taking on Christopher Daniels.
Can't wait. Will we have a new TNA World Heavyweight Champion?
We'll find out next week.
Find out next week. But up next, we have Bobby Roode and Austin Aries coming up before all the festivities can begin. Roode says the only celebration that should be going on is the celebration of the It Factor and the greatest man that ever lived. There'd be no Impact Wrestling without Roode and Aries. They go on like that for a while. Aries says that there used to be a time where TNA could be proud of its champions. Now it feels like the company has taken a trip 10 years in the past. He runs down all the old champions, RVD, Devon, Chavo Hernandez, and Jeff Hardy. Roode and Aries object to the wedding when Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez interrupt, dressed for the affair. Chavo does his awful thing and says that they also object. They object to Roode and Aries. He says, like the wedding, because of course he would. Aries objects to Chavo's objection of Aries' objection. Chavo and Hernandez are so bad at being faces that the writers have Aries and Roode utilizing racial admonishment. And that's from the recap. That's not from me.
Roode asks, who is a Mexican at a wedding reception?
Oh, God. I didn't hear the whole thing because I got a phone call during this, but yeah. The champs attack, and Hernandez tries to lay Aries out with the border toss, but Roode saves him, and the heels leave. Which means we're going to get Roode and Aries as a tag team. And he's doing her happy dance right now.
They bragged how they're the longest reigning champions and they're the best, and any segment on TNA in the last year has been only the best segments have been about them, yada yada yada. Great segment. This was great, except for when Chavo started talking.
Yeah. Just have Roode and Aries on TV and have Daniels and Kaz on TV like all the time with little bursts of James Storm and Joseph Park. And I would be okay with this.
Yeah.
Don't need Chavo.
Chavo should never talk live. He stumbles over his words.
Which, I'm not trying to bash Chavo. I mean, Chavo is great, but I'm kind of over Chavo.
I think a lot of people are.
So, but yeah. Anyway, up next, it's wedding time.
But wait, before we get to the wedding, they go back to the office of Hulk Hogan, and you have Hogan and Sting talking. They cut to Hogan in the office explaining this thing that he's trying to protect Brooke from all the evils of the pro wrestling industry. He said it's not about Bully because he's a good person, but it's for Brooke. He knows how this movie ends. Sting said he agrees with everything he just said, but maybe Brooke did a good job protecting herself, that maybe she sees something in Bully that he can't because he's blinded by the business. He said he's wrong about Bully, and he needs to walk Brooke down that aisle. Woo! Hawk said it's been a long day, and he's going to pack up his stuff and get out of here. He says he always does what's right for this business and his family.
Insert punch joke here.
So yes, it's now time for the wedding. We have Bully Ray come to the ring in his tux. Then we get Dreamer and Miss Tessmacher, Spike Dudley and Mickey James, Taz and Christy Hemme, and we're all set for the wedding.
If you're going to lift your dress, which is fine, be a lady while you do it. Don't flash your crotch or try to. Just I'm sorry, I noticed that when she was coming out. Mm-hmm. It's like she just grabs her dress by the slit and she hikes it up. And it's like, I get that you're trying to lift your dress and be a lady and not trip over it. I totally get that. But there are ways to do it and not splash everybody, because those were high slit dresses. Like, the slits came up to about mid-thigh, mm-hmm. if I remember right. Yes. So it's like, Christy Hemme did it better. Christy Hemme was a lady about it, which I applaud. But yeah, they put some effort into this wedding.
They actually put up some money into this wedding. They then came out Brooke in her nice dress.
Which, that was actually a very nice wedding dress.
Though, we'll explain something about the dress in a little bit. So Brooke is coming down to the ring, all smiley. Brooke, the bully, is smiley. And she keeps looking back. There's no one to walk her down. Where's Hawk? He's not here. Why isn't Hawk here? Then out of nowhere, it's Hogan!
Yay!
So Hawk walks her down to the ring. Everyone's happy. She takes a few minutes to get into the ring. The question, when I was watching this going, I was thinking to myself, who's having a harder time walking up those steps, Hogan or Brooke? I'm sorry, it's, you know, Hawk's, you know, old at this point. Bad back. He just looks slow walking up the steps. So we get the ceremony going on. You have the justice of the peace, or reverend, or whatever you want to call him, ask who's presenting Brooke, and then Hogan presents Brooke. So the justice of the peace goes through the vows, and we go through the whole routine. And, you know, as they were, you know, as they were giving their vows, you just see Hogan in the background, rubbing his chin, looking and leering, and being suspicious of this whole thing, and his facial reactions were just great throughout this whole thing.
I'm waiting for the Hogan disapproves memes, or the Hogan is not impressed memes, because there was one shot where he's standing behind Brooke, and he's just not impressed. And you could tell, and it's like, I'm waiting for that to happen. I'm sorry, go on.
You're good. yeah, that's probably going to come soon, if not already. You know, they both said, I love each other, they loved each other. Justice of the Peace now, speak now, or forever hold your peace. If anyone objects, no one objects, so we continue on. They give the rings, they both say, I do. And then as he was, the Justice of the Peace was about to announce a man and wife, Taz, of all people, says, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to do this? You know, and then Bully says, yes, I'm sure. And Brooke's like, we're trying to get married here. Then Taz asks, okay, I have another question. Is it just me, or is it getting hot in here? So he took off all of his clothes, sort of.
Get out of my head.
I said it out like that. and Brooke asks, what are you talking about? And then he reveals that he's wearing a vest, and then turns around, and oh my god, he's a member of the Aces and Eights. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
This moment, it was like, holy shit, he's a member of the Aces and Eights. He walks away, the Aces and Eights attack. They beat down Spike, and they beat down Tommy Dreamer. Sting appears, he gets beaten down. Bully gets beaten down. Hogan gets beaten down. Doc, Steve and Bill are holding back Brooke. They wouldn't let her get to, you know, her father. They beat them all down, and, you know, Brooke's crying, everyone's down, she runs over to Hogan, Hogan says, check on Bully, and that's how we close out the show. The Aces and Eights lay out the wedding, and Taz, of all people, is a member of the group.
Which is a fantastic swerve.
Fantastic swerve right there by the folks at TNA Wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, nobody saw that coming. Nobody. And if you did, bravo.
We all knew the Aces and Eights were getting involved.
Oh, yeah. We all knew that. Its question is how they're going to do it and who's in on it.
We had a comment from a fellow Aussie named Mace. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He commented to us about the show that, you know, it's going to be the Aces and Eights and Hogan's going to turn. Got the Aces and Eights part, which we all kind of figured, but we all figured, okay, Brooke's going to turn. Bully's going to turn. Nope. It was Taz.
The one person you would never suspect.
And that's great storytelling.
That's fantastic storytelling.
But as we've gone through this show tonight, as we've recapped it all, it's like, they dropped the hints.
They did.
Taz leaving commentary, saying he has something, history is going to be made tonight, that he has stuff to take care of. They dropped the hints, and we didn't notice them, because it was just Taz being Taz.
Right.
And we think, oh, he's just part of the wedding, yada yada, it's just background noise. But they dropped the hints throughout the night, and it's like, going through this, the show, as we were doing this recap, it's like, holy shit, they set this up perfectly. And we didn't see it coming.
Right.
Well done, TNA. Well done.
Yeah, bravo. Absolutely. You get an applause on that one. It was just... It was a great show. It really was. It's because we have been talking about it all week, and I was excited for this show because it's like, they sort of set the bar with the EY and ODB wedding.
They did.
They really did. And it's like, if this is how they're going to do a wrestling wedding, then I'm really excited. And the way that they did the wedding tonight was, it was great. It was not the comedy affair that was ODB and EY, but it was great storytelling, and it was a fantastic setup to continue the Aces and Eights storyline.
Exactly.
And it's the big reveal that kind of everybody was expecting. We've all been waiting for somebody else to get revealed, one of the bigger names, and we've gotten a bigger name.
Mm-hmm.
Taz, which is, I would bet, he's probably your inside man.
Your inside man? He might be the president.
We don't know.
Because he could now be the talker for the group.
Yeah. He very well could be.
Fantastic job. Now, one thing. Now, I'm not a female. Clearly.
Yes.
Lindsay's the female. Who has a rack. Hence the show.
Yes.
Now, if you're in a dress like that, isn't there something you can put on your boobs so they don't fall out?
Well, typically with dresses like that, you actually get them a little bit bigger up there, so they'll sit. You actually get under support, so they'll sit better.
Mm-hmm.
With her, that dress, you can tell that they got all the dresses. They either rented all the dresses, or they bought them, or they probably bought them, but Brooke's wedding dress was not fitted to her. And you could tell that it had not been really fully tailored. Because it fit her, but it didn't fit her right, especially in the boobs. Usually what they do is you get a wedding dress that's like a size too big, and then they'll tailor it
right
down to you. And for her, the top was too small. Clearly, the top was way too small.
Now, I know they used the double-sided tape on live TV. You know, maybe could have helped.
I don't think double-sided tape could have kept those bad boys in.
Yeah.
Continue. I noticed when she was walking up the stairs, she was holding up the dress. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. Because they were ready. They were ready to... You want to talk about letting the pigeons loose? Those suckers were ready to burst when she walked out on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my only criticism of the dress, was that it did not fit her well in the top. Which I'm sure all the men are like, what the hell are you talking about? Her boobs came out. Of course it fit her well on the top. But just from a girl perspective, it didn't fit her well in the top. And there are things you can do to dresses like that, where you can add straps or sleeves or something that will hold it up. But generally speaking, if it were a real wedding, that would have been tailored to fit her better.
Okay. Now, apparently people are screen capping this, and it's on the internet already, where her boobs were out. Because not only did it not fit, you had Steve and Bill yanking on her, and her boobs came
out. Yeah, she's like, they're holding on to her, and she's struggling while she's trying to hold up the wedding dress at the same time. It's fantastic.
And she's covering her boobs because they fell out. And then, alright, everything that was great with the wedding, the one thing is, she walks over to Hawk, and he's going, check on Bully. My boobs are out. And you see her, she's trying to put her boobs back in her dress.
Brooke Hogan's... This is not the first time Brooke Hogan's boobs have come out on TV. This is like the third time. Oh, trust me. This show should be called What Not to Wear instead of The Rack, because I critique more people's fashions. You should hear me run down people's houses.
Yeah, she does. Just,
it's just not good.
I can attest to this.
I watch too much fashion and home television.
Yeah, she's firmly planning on HGTV.
I am. I actually am a big fan of What Not to Wear, but I haven't seen it in a really long time because TLC took it off on Friday, so it's like I don't even know what time it's on anymore. But
I had a friend who was on that show.
Did you?
Yeah, about years ago, she was on that show. Oh, it's funny. Anyway.
But, I mean, overall, the wedding was everything I was expecting, and then some. It was great. It had a huge importance to it. They used it to their best advantage in furthering a storyline. And what was nice was it was classy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a classy affair, which I'm not trying to downplay what WWE does at all, but they're setting a standard for the wrestling weddings, which is nice.
Right, because WWE's had the classy weddings. They've had Edge and, you know, Edge and Lita was classy. Ish, till the endings. But they do it. They have some classy weddings. But yeah, this is. They've had two weddings on TV, and they've knocked them both out of the park.
Yeah. So, well done to TNA. This was a great show. It was a great way to further the storyline, and I'm really excited to see where it goes next week.
I'm with you.
Which is always good because you left people with more questions than answers, and you want them to, people want to now tune in for next week to see what happens, which is the best thing you could ever hope for.
Right, and next week on the program we get a world title match, so, you know.
I'm so there for that.
Gonna be awesome. It really is. So, with that, I think we should go to break.
We should go to break.
But as we go to break, we should let everyone know that our question of the night is the following. Should, you know, DX or slash the click go in together, meaning should DX being of Sean, Hunter, Outlaws, and X-Pac go in together? Or, you know, Nash, Hall, Sean, Hunter, and X-Pac go in together?
You should have heard me go off when he proposed this question.
It was fantastic, and we'll get into it later on in the program. Just saying.
So you going to send us out?
Sure, why not? You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Remember to go to MemLanePromo.com, use the promo code ROCKSOCK, and you could buy a 8x10 of RVD, Mr. Anderson, or Kurt Angle for the low price of $8. Go there now, MemLanePromo.com. We'll be right back right here on the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network with your Tweet of the Week. Next.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. bookmark it today, right now. It is pwmania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That is currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Why are you sending them over here?
That's a horse you have, that's a horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Cthulhu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'll have to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are, of course, brought to you by PWMania.com and MemorabiliaLane.com. Go to MemLanePromo.com, enter the code ROCKSOCK, and you can pick up an autographed picture of either RVD, Mr. Anderson, or Kurt Angle for about $8, which is a phenomenal deal if you think about it.
It really is. It really, really is. And by the way, every time I bring us back to that song, I think, oh god, we're on Wrestle Talk Radio. Anyway.
No, we're not. We're on the rack.
We're on the rack.
The rack.
Just Tim would use this song for the old school editions of WTR. It's like, okay, makes sense.
By the way, I love our chat room and the fact that they're trying to get us to do another late night show.
Don't I do enough for you people? Don't I do enough?
We're now being created as Muppets. Apparently, you're Kermit or Scooter. I'm Miss Piggy, which, thank you so much for that compliment. Spug is Animal, or the Big Hairy Monster. The Big Hairy Monster is Schnookums.
Before we move, I'm trying to find something here, if I can, really quickly.
Well, while you're looking for something... We just want to remind everybody to, and if you've already voted, please go vote again, and thank you for voting. Head over to WrestlingRadioAwards.com. The RAC has been nominated as both Show of the Year and for Female Interview of the Year with our wonderful interview with Maxine. Check that out in the archives if you haven't listened to it, or if you want to hear it again, go listen to it. But please go vote for us at WrestlingRadioAwards.com. You can vote every hour. Of course, if you vote more than one time an hour, then your votes don't count for 72 hours, so don't do that.
Apparently there's a few days left in the voting, so get your votes out there. Apparently I can't find what I wanted to, so I don't remember what it was called. But if you're talking about, we're talking about Muppets and stuff, Mace does the Kermit the Frog voice, so anyone's going to be Kermit. It's Mace, because he has the voice for it.
The question is, everybody, what is Tim? Tim, I should say. But
what are Tim and Alan?
But yes, please go vote for us. If you voted for us already, please continue to vote or vote for us again. And thank you so much for your participation. It means a lot to us that you guys are voting for us. We'd like to win, but if we don't win, we're totally okay with that as well. But we'd really like to win, so.
Yeah, so please help support the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go vote for us at WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Before we get to that, here's a little bit of Kermit.
Hi-ho, welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. I am Kermit the Frog, and I am here with the only man who is funnier than Fozzie Bear, that being Omega. The only person whose attitude is worse than Miss Piggy. The Spook Guy! And the only man who is older than Statler and Waldorf, Tim Stein! Oh, and a very special guest star tonight.
There you go. There's a little Kermit the Frog from Mace.
Yes, we are all weirdos, but you know what? That's why you listen to us, King Kittens. Just deal with it. Omega is Sam the Eagle. I love it. So, speaking of winning, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Winning.
Yes, winning.
Winning.
So we have a nomination from the chat room for Tweet of the Week.
All right, go for that one first before we get to ours.
King Kittens has submitted from Scott Barry of Jaegers every Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m., right here on Wild Talk Radio. To replace the love of his lost girl, Teo bought a rabbit. He named it Harvey. It died too.
Okay. Where do we begin? I'll go, I guess. Matt Stryker. I'm bored in San Antonio. The river walk, the river walk is frozen, and no one knows where HBK's house is. Okay, guess I'll sleep. So it's one day closer to the NHL. Ricardo Rodriguez. Beyond excited to be making our debut here in Alaska. Hashtag Where are the mooses at? He goes, I'm okay with not seeing a moose while here. But I will hate myself if I don't see the Aurora Borealis while I'm here in Alaska. And he also put one up of two bears, and it goes, with two polar bears going. His quote was, and if you're not down with that, we've got two words for you, and they're doing a sort of a crotch chop.
Yeah. Moose aren't what you want to worry about in Alaska, boys. Bear is what you want to worry about in Alaska.
Yeah, I'm going to put the picture out in our chat room here at WildTalkRadio.com for the suck it portion of the tweet.
Awesome.
Which was great. I love Ricardo.
So, is that all?
That's all I got. Oh, no, I got one more. I forgot all about this one, but it's a great one. So, this made my Monday, actually.
Okay.
So, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels was not on Monday Night Raw. Everyone was clearly aware of that. Made mention of it. But he clearly went on Twitter and said, you know, I'm not there. I've been saying that for a month now. But the news sheets, the dirt sheets were going, he's going to be there. He's just pulling your chain. But no, he wasn't. He put it on Twitter. Y'all better keep me updated on Raw 20. They better at least mention me. So, as you noticed throughout the show, they mentioned him. mentioned him a lot throughout that show. Now, the reason I bring this up is, so, you know, people were sending him, you know, different things about the mentions and stuff. So I go to Shawn Michaels. So I go, at Shawn Michaels, there will be 3 name drops and you'll be in 2 video packages. His response? Yes, I got a response from the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Nice call. I forgot about videos.
Well done, Rock. Well done.
That made my night. Because it's Heartbreak Kid. Get a tweet from the show from Shawn Michaels. It's awesome. Anyway, what are your tweets of the week?
My tweets of the week come from AJ Lee. And I have several as I'm sitting here scrolling through her feed. First one is, somebody tweets to her, wait a minute, did anyone see AJ get down from the cage? Is she still there? Seriously, someone go check. To which she replies, I'm stuck. Send help. Somebody else tweeted her, which she retweeted, I tried some mushroom and said, your princess is on another cage.
Nice one. I like that one. Very geeky.
And then John Layfield and the Layfield Report put out an article comparing AJ Lee to Stephanie McMahon, to which she replied, I always appreciate being compared to the legendary women I actively stalk.
Could make a stalking comment, but you know, it's going a little too far.
Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about who stalks who.
No, we're not going to talk about any of that. But I got one more.
Well, I got one more too, so you go first.
Okay, from Dolph Ziggler. Monday night after all, I fly to Australia. Hey, Mace, Dolph's going to be in Australia. Kidnap him for it, Lindsay. I fly to Australia for 4 days of PR work / kangaroo foxy boxing for at WWE. # Poe Bodies Nerfic.
Nice. And the last one, my last one, comes from Biggie Langston. Don't worry, Miss AJ. I plan on awkwardly lurking in the background for years to come. # life in the friend zone.
Go on.
Thank you. I thought so.
So those are the tweets of the week.
The tweets! So, there wasn't too much news this week.
No, not as much, but it all ties together. So, what's in the news?
Well, what's in the news this week? Obviously, the biggest story coming out of this week is the fact that Eve has departed from WWE. In kind of a shock, kind of a surprise, she told WWE she was done about a month ago, and originally they were supposed to go to the Rumble with the title feud between her and Kaylin, but the decision was made to go ahead and have Eve drop the title on Monday Night Raw this past week to Kaylin, and then leave the company, which... I wasn't the biggest fan of Eve, but she was a good hand in the division because she was one of their better workers, and she has a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm. And here's one classy thing she did on her way out. As you mentioned, it was supposed to be done at the Rumble. It was Eve's decision to do it in Houston, which is basically where, you know, Caitlin's from.
Which was nice.
It was a nice touch. It was her idea. Okay, she her contract, she was telling them she left, yada, yada, yada. And she was willing to play it out, and she did the right thing. She gave Caitlin the big moment in her hometown, and that's kind of awesome. So, congratulations, Eve, for doing the right thing on her way out of the WWE. She's put out apparently her name of her fans are Believers. I didn't know that till today. She thanked the fans for all of the support, and hope they support her on her new endeavors, which will involve the Gracie fighting Academy, I believe. I don't know what the official term is, but that's what she's going to be doing. She's going to be doing a lot of stuff for them, and
she's basically going to be their spokeswoman, and she's also doing inspirational speaking for women in self-defense and women in martial arts. So she's definitely taking her star power and she's putting it to good use, which is a pleasant thing to see. Not to say that the other girls don't put their star power to a good use, but Eve is trying to have a positive impact on women and encourage women to better themselves, which is always great to see.
It is, and she will be missed on her because she was the dominant heel, and it leaves a void of who that heel next heel is, most likely AJ. But the writing was on the wall once she got engaged. You know, everyone, females in pro wrestling have a short lifespan at times. Especially when family starts getting it off. Once they want to settle down, because everyone wants to settle down at some point. The road gets tough, as we hear from everyone we talk to. And it's like, okay, she did her time. She did five long years, daily on the road, appearances, etc., etc. And, you know, she's not bad-mouthing the company. She's not one of them. She's going out the way she should, and big props to her.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was not the biggest fan of her in the ring or as a character, but as a person, as a human being, I find her very inspiring, and she will be missed. I mean, I didn't like her character because it came off as very fake to me. It came off as very contrived, but she was trying, and she was one of the more relevant divas that they had. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she was a good hand in the ring to have. She was one of the more experienced girls. She wasn't the best. But she busted her butt, and she tried. And the feud with Caitlyn that she had was one of the best the Divas Division has had in a while.
Right, and as we mentioned on the Raw Post Show every Monday night right here on Wild Talk Radio, I kind of 11:30 p.m. Eastern, I thought what they did was the perfect thing. They built it for weeks. They didn't rush into it. They've given it some legs, and people cared about the match on Monday night.
Right. And people were into it. I was into it. I know every time they wrestled, I paid attention, because the thing with them was they could put together a really good physical match. It wasn't your typical Divas match where they would do the dancing and the butt drops and the stink faces. And not that the girls that do that are bad. It's just it's not my style of match. I would prefer to see the girls go in there and frankly beat the crap out of each other. I want to see the girls do what the guys do.
Right.
Because I can appreciate that and the work that takes to be able to do more than a girl in the ring, you know, doing an ass drop or doing a stink face or whatever. Not that hard work doesn't go into that as well, but it's just, it's not as impressive to me.
You're right. You'd rather see the athleticism shine rather than, ooh, I can shake my booty.
Right. And to me, like I said, even Caitlyn put together some really good physical, strong matches where you had Caitlyn going out there and beating the crap out of Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And she played it off perfectly as the heel by running away.
Right.
Which was great. It was phenomenal.
They did your classic babyface heel matchup, which is perfect. And they built up to it over a course of a few weeks, and it was really well done.
It was. So, I'm sorry to see her go. Best of luck to her with her pending nuptials, if she's already gotten married, congratulations. Best of luck to you. But as you said, the girls are a little bit different than the guys, and I think there are really two breeds of women right now in the WWE. There are the girls who are the wrestlers who are going to stay around, and then there are the girls who are there for a short while, and then they're going to move on. That mm-hmm. They never got into this business because they loved it. They got into this business because it was a paycheck.
Right, and you could tell that she got into it because she liked it.
Right. And in some cases, or in all cases, there eventually comes a point where girls want to move on. They want to settle down. They want to have kids. They want to get married. And wrestling just doesn't fit into the equation anymore.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. It's just life happens, and you have to adapt, and that's what she's doing. She said she's she made her career, and now she can go off and do other things. And props to her.
Props to her, and there's nothing saying that she won't be back. She left on good terms, and she'll be back, so...
Yeah.
Sad to see her go, but...
That's the wrestling business for you.
That's the business. Hopefully this gives more room for other girls to come up, or the girls that they have now, to get even more of a spotlight.
Yes.
So and hit point to me, Nastuka.
So I got a question for you, Lindsay.
Okay.
Would you ever want a photo with the WWE Championship?
The WWE Championship?
Yeah, would you ever want a photo with the WWE Championship?
Which one?
The spinner, I guess.
Does CM Punk come with it?
Well, would you like a meet and greet with a WWE superstar?
Of course.
And an autograph opportunity with that superstar?
Of course.
Would you like exclusive WWE merchandise?
Sure.
Well, now you can.
How?
With the WWE VIP experience.
Oh, the WrestleMania thing?
No. No. This is for WWE live events. Yes, WWE VIP experiences now include one premium ringside or lower bowl seat as a backstage meet and greet and autograph opportunity with WWE superstars, a photo with the WWE Championship, exclusive WWE merchandise, and much, much more. The first time these packages will be available, it will be on the road to WrestleMania tour for Monday Night Raw in Bridgeport, Connecticut, Providence, Rhode Island, and Binghamton, New York on March 15th, 16th, and 17th. Those packages now go on sale today. Now, this is where it gets interesting. You get the one premium seat and everything else I've mentioned before. You get an exclusive limited edition WWE event chair, exclusive WWE snapback cap, limited edition event poster, one commemorative VIP ticket holder, venue parking, crowd-free merchandise shopping areas, and all that fun stuff. And it's like $500-something.
$500?
Mm-hmm.
Good lord. By the way, doesn't TNA already do kind of that stuff?
Yeah, that's what people said. A lot of people do that.
I mean, TNA's done that for years.
Yeah. It's $599 for the Superstar package.
Wow.
So almost $600 for that package. TNA does it, it's not as expensive. But there's a cheaper version for $249. It's called the Enhanced VIP Package. This includes one premium center ring lower bowl seat, exclusive WWE snapback cap, limited edition event poster, ticket holder, venue parking, crowd-free merchandise, shopping areas, etc., etc., for $249.
That's still a lot. I'm not entirely sure that's worth it, but okay.
For some people, to meet a WWE superstar, they'll pay that price.
Well, if you didn't see, what also came out today were the VIP package information for WrestleMania Access, to which I would like to say, Taker, you bastard.
Oh, I have not seen these.
Yes, it came out today. I believe it's up on pwmania.com. If anybody wants to go check it out, they released the listings for WrestleMania Access, the VIP where you pay $75 to meet your favorite superstar. That's per superstar. That's not total. Just like to point that out. But it's Taker will be signing this year.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the first thing I looked for when I saw it come out, and I was like, The Undertaker is signing. The dates are as follows. Thursday, April 4th, session 6 to 10 p.m., CM Punk and Ric Flair. Friday, April 5th, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., Friday, April 5th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., The Undertaker and John Cena. April 6th, on Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., Kane. So he and I have to pay $75 to get his autograph. April 6th, 1 to 5, Triple H and Orton. 6 to 10 on Saturday, Sheamus. And on Sunday, before Mania, you have Big Show and Mysterio going in the morning, 8 to 12. And the last group of signings being the Heartbreak Kid and Bret Hart from 12:30 to 4:30.
Well, he couldn't do it last year because they couldn't hide his hair, so makes sense the Undertaker's doing this year.
Put him in a wig! They did it for national television, damn it!
Well, last year was all the big suspense.
I know. But yeah, so the Undertaker will be signing this year. Dick. anybody who is interested in the packages, you are welcome to go to Ticketmaster.com. The tickets will be on sale starting next week. And if anybody does buy them and you listen to this show and you get the Undertaker signing, please send him to us in a box. Thank you.
You send us Tim into a box. Care of Wild Talk Radio and Lindsay Ward.
Yes.
All right. Now, before we move on, I'm going to talk about the chat room's talking about. So, today, because people read the Wrestling Observer newsletter, apparently it was leaked that the times for matches were announced for the Royal Rumble. Rumble gets 70 minutes or so, because the WWE time match gets 30, and Big Show and Alberto gets 20, and there's other times and 10-minute intervals for Kane and tag title match, etc., etc. Everyone's talking about how The Rock's going to get this long entrance. It's going to, you know, this whole long roundabout thing about The Rock, long entrance. No, he's going to get 3 minutes of an entrance and stuff. But no, I'm not saying you, Tommy. I've read people taking shots at this entrance and yada, 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 and how long The Rock's going to be in the ring. It's like, no, he's going to, like, cut this. One person said, cut down The Rock's match for 15 minutes and give it to someone else. Are you serious?
It's the WWE title match, people.
It's like, give 15 more minutes to the tag match. No! Are you stupid? No! People, please, reality check. It's The Rock, it's CM Punk. Hell, they should get 40 minutes. Take 10 minutes away from something else. Like, it's going to be a big deal. The two things you're paying for are the WWE title match and the Royal Rumble. I would take minutes away from Alberto Del Rio and Big Show because it doesn't need that much because that should get 15. Point being, these are the two big matches. They're going to get all the time. Get ready, people. Okay, now I'm good. That's my mini rant.
Yeah, if The Rock is going to get a long entrance, it will be at Mania. It will not be at the Rumble.
Right.
Because everybody gets a big entrance at Mania because it's Mania.
Exactly.
As far as people taking shots at The Rock, I mean, come on, y'all. It's the WWE title match. It should get 30 minutes. It should get a decent amount of time for them to be able to put on a good match.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a 10 or less. And honestly, as far as the tag match goes, 15, 20 minutes is good. Same for Show and Del Rio. Because when you think about it, for Hell No and for, I guess it's going to be Road Scholars.
Yes, that's for the tag team titles, yes.
15, 20 minutes is a good time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. So, STFU people, not you, Tommy. But
no, it's other people who like to talk and run their mouth.
Yeah, and just
where they sheep.
Bah.
Fuck you. Oh, fuck you.
I've been waiting to do that to you. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you make Rock lose his shit on air. And if you want to hear me lose my shit on air, why don't we talk all about DX and the possibility of them going into the Hall of Fame?
WWE interviews where they're sheep. Anyway, WWE, it's been coming out that the other headliner for WrestleMania's Hall of Fame will be D-Generation X or The Click, the combination of Triple H, Shawn Michaels, The New Age Outlaws, and X-Pac in the version of D-Generation X, or on the other line of The Click, Hunter, Sean, Nash, Hall, and X-Pac. The question is this how they should actually go together?
To which I say, X-Pac, no, 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 no. No. Just no. I'm sorry. In any incarnation, and this is no offense meant to X-Pac, this is purely my opinion, but I'm sorry. He hasn't done enough to warrant going in the Hall of Fame. He really hasn't.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it. You got the better reaction last night.
Usually happens that way. Alright, like we were talking about X-Pac. Okay, we'll start with him. And I'll read King Kent wrote on our Facebook page at facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork in just a minute. When it came to X-Pac, he was on the path to having a really good career. He had the potential, because he was the one guy people liked to work with. If you watch any shoot DVDs, etc., etc., X-Pac, the 123 Kid, was always the guy who wrestled the guy before they got into the main event. He was that guy. Then, well, as the years went by, he got a little more into certain things, whether it be drugs or other people. And his career kind of spiraled. And by other people, I mean China.
Yeah.
So, it became evident at that point that, you know, there's a little bit of an issue with X-Pac. So, at that point, his career tailed off, and it's not Hall of Fame worthy. When it comes to the Outlaws, my case is Billy Gunn's been a great worker throughout his career, from the Smoking Guns onward to the Outlaws, to Mr. Ass, to the one Billy, the one Billy Gunn, whatever, even the Showguns. He's always been that guy. He deserves to be in that Hall of Fame, because he's been a worker. He's not a first ballot, he's not a headliner, but he's a worker that should go in, because, well, Coco Beware's in the Hall of Fame, so should Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
Because if you got a Coco Beware, you can have a Rockabilly. So,
and honestly, I have no problem with Billy Gunn or the Outlaws going in.
Right.
Because they did a lot for tag team wrestling in the WWE back in the day, and at least for Billy Gunn's case, he did the Billy and Chuck angle. Which, if you think about it at the time that that angle was done, which everybody said it was really stupid, that was actually fairly revolutionary. I mean, think about it, people. WWE had a gay wedding before the issue really ever flared up. They had a gay wedding. Think about that.
Yeah, this is true.
So, I mean, I have no problem with the Outlaws going in.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, I made the case for it, and like, everyone was like, no, the Outlaws aren't going in. Well, maybe. Maybe they are now in version of this. Chris Pierce in our chat room go, what did the Click do as a group, except for the MSG incident? It's because that is, you know, the collection on TV is the Click. It's like a thing. It's like, it's what they're known for. It's the group they're known together as. It's more for the unit, as a unit, to get them all together. It's basically the term for the Click.
The Click is one of the most notorious, if not the most notorious group in at least recent wrestling history, if not all of wrestling's history. And yes, they are solely known for the MSG incident. They are known for their political stuff in the back. Mm-hmm. But it's what they're known for, and it's who's in that group.
Right, it's the collective as a whole. What they've done together as a whole. Nash, Hall, and X-Pac.
And Michaels.
And Michaels and Hunter. Yeah, it's like, as a collective. Anyway, King Kins goes, personally, if I was presented with a Hall of Fame ballot, I'd say only DX, but not with the click. DX helped to define an entire era of wrestling history on screen and in storyline. The click was basically never on screen, save for the one NXT video and the infamous photo from Madison Square Garden that we just mentioned a few decades ago. God, it's been 16 years. God, I feel old now. Or even acknowledged as a group except by those who knew the backstage politics. If you wanted to honor the Nash Hall X-Pac pairing and their contributors, then make the NWO a Hall of Fame entry as well. Like DX helped to define an entire era of wrestling in two companies, primarily in WCW, but did have runs in WWE.
I can see that.
Now, the thing with the NWO is, what you gonna do, brother?
Yeah, the NWO, I mean, you could put Nash and Hall in, if anything, because Nash and Hall were Wolfpack, were they not?
Well, yeah, they eventually turned into the Wolfpack, yes.
So, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could do NWO Wolfpack and put Nash and Hall in that way.
But if you're going NWO, you gotta go NWO, you gotta go Nash, Hall, and Hogan, because that's the NWO. The Wolfpack, because then you have a bunch of different other people.
Yeah, my problem with the click or inducting the click or inducting DX is that would put Michaels in twice. And inducting either or, the names that are involved in that, they would compete with, like this year they would compete with your headlining name, which is Mick Foley.
Right.
And I mean, I could see why they would do the click because they're in New York, and the Hall of Fame is going to be in the Garden. I can totally see why they would do it. It makes complete perfect sense, and I can see why they would do a DX because they can do the tie into the click. But if you're going to induct Michaels twice, especially if you're going to induct Hunter for his first time, because we all know Hunter's going in on his own, they really need to have their own year. It's just, to me, it cheapens it to, for both Foley and for DX or the Click, to put them in together.
Mm-hmm.
DX, the Click, need to have their own year. Foley needs to have their own year. Unless you just do DX in the sense that it's X-Pac, which I would cry for, and the Outlaws. And you exclude Hunter and Sean, which then it's not DX.
Right, so that's why I go back to maybe just the Outlaws, because then they can play the undercard to Foley.
Yeah.
Foley's a big enough headliner, sorry.
Yeah, and honestly, I wouldn't mind the Outlaws. I don't have a problem with the Outlaws. They deserve to go in. They're not first ballot. And since you have both Billy and Road Dogg in the company, right, it doesn't hurt to put them in.
There's interest.
The difference, to point out King Kent's point, he said about face as well, I understand. Flair, I think, with that kind of sort of, you did the Horseman, and the has, no offense when I say this, as relevant as DX are.
Right now.
Now, 10 years from now, DX will not be nearly as relevant, but DX, realistically, will be going in the next few years, if they decide to do them at all. Hunter will probably be going in the next few years. So, it made sense to do the Horsemen when they did the Horsemen, because the Horsemen are not on the tip of everybody's tongue. They're looked back with the nostalgia glasses. Whereas Edge was a big enough name, he's relevant, and now you've got almost the reverse of that, where, no offense to Mick Foley, again, no offense made, but Foley is, in this day and age, is not as relevant as DX.
Right, and the same, if we're going back to saying about the Horsemen, Ric Flair was put in the second time, but he was not the guy promoted. It was promoted as the Horsemen, because they couldn't promote Flair. If it was, you know, if they could have promoted Flair, he could have overshadowed Edge a little bit, but because he was a background player, it made sense to do the Horsemen with Edge.
Right.
We'll get to that in a second. I'll continue on some Facebooks.
Yes.
Jason on Facebook goes, no, DX, yes, but only HBK and Triple H, but not Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, X-Pac, and no to the Click because it was more of a backstage group and not an on-camera faction like Four Horsemen or Evolution. We have another one, Just DX Were Better from Tommy. I think Just DX from Ed. Another Jason, yes, DX with Rude, not the Outlaws.
Okay, I can see that.
Now we'll go with King Kenneth Pose. So we'll start with this one because this will tie into where we want to go next. Booker T, Hall of Famer or not?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not first ballot, but yes.
He would be a co. I will get to your question, M, in a second. Booker T, yes. He's a co-headliner, not a headliner, because he's had all the tag titles. He would make perfect sense for being a Hall of Fame in about 4 years.
Booker T would have been really good to go in 2 years ago in Atlanta.
Yes, exactly. Christian? No.
Yeah, the only way I think Christian will go in is if they induct Edge and Christian as a tag team. I hate to say this about Christian because he's a phenomenal athlete. He's a phenomenal individual, but he just really hasn't done enough to go in. He did not have the career that Edge had. He's done very well from himself, but it's not that legendary career that you think about. I mean, yes, he did all the same TLC matches. He did all the same thing, but once ENC split, Christian sort of fell by the wayside. Christian was basically the one that went through the plate glass window, and Edge was the one that went on to the career.
He always followed after Edge. Edge did this, Edge did that. Christian then did this, Christian did that.
I mean, at least in a... Not that Christian certainly didn't earn it, but in a lot of people's eyes, the only reason Christian got the World Heavyweight title a couple years ago after Edge was retired was because Edge basically handed it to him.
All right, before we get to the final person, MS and Chatter, how is this all decided? From what I know, it's just me knowing what I know and from hearing things and whatever. There are people pitch names to Vince. There's every year you get different names, different selections of who they think should go in. It depends on the area and whatever. Who's big in time is like when they did Drew Carey, they had tie-in and stuff like that. That's how it gets decided, and then it goes all to Vince. Vince, okay, is it? It goes through. Nowadays, Triple H has more of an influence. He pitches more ideas, and he goes out and tries to get them into Hall of Fame, like a Bruno Sammartino, who he's trying to desperately get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a couple years ago before they started really showing the Hall of Fame and airing it. Was basically they just decided, I guess, who went in, but now it's basically who's going to draw the most ratings, who's going to sell the most tickets. Because they want to try, because they make money off the Hall of Fame. They figured out, hey, the fans will pay to see this. They will pay to sit through this with us and watch it. Because before it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just something that they did. And now it's a big event.
Right. Drew Carey was one of those made-for-TV inductions because there was a TV tie-in to it.
The only reason Drew Carey was good was because Kane gave the induction speech, and it was awesome.
So yeah, that's basically how it's decided. It all boils down to Vince, and now Triple H. You got probably guys like Pat Patterson and the likes giving him ideas for who he thinks. And it all depends. Sometimes it depends on the areas, clearly. But that's what the internet goes, oh, these people should go in because it's an area. Then we go, like the year in Atlanta, we go, oh, it's going to be all WCW. And it was completely opposite. So it's like,
Yeah. But we got Michaels. So screw you all. I got to see Shawn Michaels go in the Hall of Fame.
So did Rob, too. He was there. He was in a box, too.
He was in a box. Nice. Yeah, we were up in the nosebleeds.
He got in for free.
Lucky him. Yeah. Well, it was basically when we went, we found out, because Michaels was one of the last names announced.
He was the going first. He was the first.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we got our tickets late. We decided that we were going to go late. Because it was when we found out the full list of names going in, I think that's when we decided we're going. Because it was, when I say we, it was a bunch of girls that went. It was a group of girls that we all went to Mania together. There were five of us, and we all went. It was so much fun. But, yeah, so that's a girls' weekend right there. We're going to go to WrestleMania. But, yeah, we got our tickets to the Hall of Fame late.
Speaking of going to WrestleMania, we'll answer the other one. Big Show, yes, Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, speaking of going to WrestleMania, I'll continue to tie in. One induction you will go for is the one, the only, The Undertaker.
Oh, yes. I'm waiting for that one, people.
This leads to the question, who should induct The Undertaker, and when should he actually go in?
Ooh, that's hard. Taker, I think they're going to wait on. I'm convinced Taker either retires at WrestleMania 30 or he goes into the Hall of Fame at 30. They're going to save him for a big event. But then again, we thought that about Michaels and he went in at 27. So, I don't know. I don't know when Taker goes in. As far as who inducts him, here's Brother Love. I love it. he's a little busy with TNA right now.
Yeah.
I would like to see Paul Bearer would be good, but I would almost like to see like Hunter or Sean do it, or even see Vince do it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that, because honestly, I want to see somebody, because he's such a serious character, he's such a serious individual, and supposedly he has a really wicked sense of humor. I would love to see somebody go out there and roast his ass. Because, you know, they basically kiss his ass every time he's on air. Where it's the legendary Undertaker, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's, I would love to see somebody who's got the clout, who's got the balls to go out there and roast him. And I think either Hunter or Sean, or both, or Vince would do that.
Yeah. Vince would be great because he's so protective. So protective of the Undertaker. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
And him having to give that big, long speech would be awesome.
I mean, another name would be probably Kane. He would be a good one. I think he would give a good speech. I think he might cut a little couple jokes on him.
He would take pot shots.
He would take pot shots, but he wouldn't do it to the effect that Hunter and Sean would do.
Right.
But yeah, and it also could be maybe he has his family do it, but I doubt it, because his son is in college.
Right, but it's a TV show now, so son would probably not work.
Yeah, son would not work, but...
The one thing we've been saying, Sean and Hunter should just induct everybody. Because it would be a roast every single time.
Now, let me pose this question to you.
Okay.
Speaking of names of people who should go in, should Vince McMahon go in?
Without question, Vince McMahon should be in the WWE Hall of Fame because he's the guy who started it all. He's the one who created the company. He's the one who made us WrestleMania.
He did. Now, the question is, if he goes in, when should he go in?
That's a good question. He needs to go in within the next 5 years. Because of the fact, there will come a time where Vince McMahon, because he's in the 60s right now, is not going to look like Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is going to become a shell of what he is. It's a sad thing to think of. It's happened to people. It's happened to all the greats. You just look at it, they've all hit that wall at some point. Vince McMahon needs to go in the Hall of Fame, and it needs to be done next year. He needs to be put in while he's still Vince McMahon. And he has to be put in mainly before you know, he's alive, while he's still alive.
Yeah.
And with the milestone of WrestleMania 30 coming up, it would be the perfect time to honor Vince McMahon for all he's done.
I agree 100% wholeheartedly, and M is posing in the question in the chat room that I was going to ask next. Who would induct Vince?
D-Generation X. No, well, actually, that's kind of the serious answer. DX would be great. But he brings up his kids.
Yeah.
That would probably be the best.
Yeah, to have Shane... Shane and Steph do it.
Actually, alright, I'm going to do this completely. And just... WrestleMania 30 is a big to do. It's a big milestone. Vince McMahon is the only one that should go in the Hall of Fame that year. Now hear me out. Have everybody induct Vince McMahon. You get D-Generation X, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels. You get The Rock. You get Stone Cold Steve Austin. You get John Cena. Hell, put CM Punk out there. You get Patterson and Briscoe. You get everybody, every single person, and then you close it out. You get Bret Hart. You close it out with Shane and Stephanie to put him in fully. Make it all about Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, that would be the best way to do it. Everyone could tell their best stories. Give The Undertaker, give JBL time. Let everybody come out and honor Vince McMahon. And this would be Vince's way, exactly, the big send-off, and it would be the changeover of power. You close out the Vince McMahon era with one big final send-off for him.
Which is what he would want.
Mm-hmm. Actually, he probably wouldn't want nothing. Everyone else would want it for him. But just think about it. If you give everyone the chance, make it one big, long special for Vince McMahon, the celebration of Vince McMahon as he goes into the Hall of Fame, how many people would buy tickets to that?
Oh, I would go. I would totally go.
That would be something to see.
That would be one for the history books, because it's the nostalgia factor alone, just going over 30 years of Mania and the potential names that could show up, that would be worth it alone. I mean, it really would.
Just think, give 10 minutes to Roddy Piper to tell his Vince McMahon stories.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, give Ric Flair time. Give every single person, and this can go on for about 5 hours. Who cares? Make it a DVD. Who cares? It's basically a roast of Vince McMahon, but at the end of it, you honor him correctly. You send him in right as the Hall of Famer.
Right.
Boom. He can ride.
Because it's really not, right. It doesn't do Vince any justice to send him in posthumously.
Correct.
It really doesn't. And it's kind of one of those things that I personally, as a fan, would love to see Vince give that speech, that thank you speech at the end of the night, just to see what he says.
Because it will be the first time we get to see a humble Vince McMahon.
Right. Where it's not Vince, Mr. McMahon, it's Vince, just Vince. Mm-hmm. And to see him as a human being rather than as this titan that he's been.
It would be one of those television moments, those pay-per-view moments, whatever you want to call it, one of those special moments that come once in a lifetime.
Right. And it would be a perfect tie-in for 30. It would be a great way to send him off, a great way to kind of sort of have Vince do that passing of the torch. Not that we're saying Vince is old, but Vince, at least in some people's minds, has lost his touch.
But at the same time,
oh, excuse me.
But at the same time, it's like, we know the change is coming.
Right, we know the change is coming. Hunter and Steph are gradually getting more power. And yes, it's passing to Triple H now. Vince is handing more and more control over to him, and more control over to Stephanie. He's still the final say. They actually have quite a bit of power now, but Vince still has all the final say on the shows.
Right. And it's called, he doesn't have to go away. It's just...
Oh, no.
Give him... Let him have time to himself. And I think that's going to be the eventual goal, is to give him time to be himself and enjoy the last 15, 20 years of his life.
Hey, and if you really think about it, Vince has gone nonstop for the majority of his life.
Since at least 1980, if not before.
So he deserves to be able to slow down and stop and smell the roses and really enjoy the fruits of his labor. Not that he's, I'm sure, not enjoying them now, but I think... I'm sure Linda would be happy if he came home and they just were able to enjoy life and enjoy the what they've done. And you hand it off to Stephanie and Triple H, and Vince is kind of there to mentor them and guide them through the process, which is what he's doing now. But you have them now have the control of the shows and be able to do what they want to do with the product and instill their vision in the product.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and honestly, I mean, this again, I'm saying this a lot tonight, no offense to Vince McMahon, but I think it's almost time to hand off the reins.
Yeah, it's time for him to give up a little bit of the control.
Because, honestly, Hunter and, their target audience is kids. That's who they're trying to get to. Hunter and Steph have young kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be able to relate to the audience better because they have those young children. Whereas Vince is grandpa, so he doesn't see them all the time. So I think for Hunter and Steph, it would be a little bit easier for them to relate to the product more and do more things. And also, I would like to see what the product becomes without the filter of Vince McMahon.
I agree.
But on that note, I think we have exhausted the topic.
Yeah, I think we have.
And I think we've exhausted the show, unless you have a rant.
It's not a rant. I was actually impressed today.
You were impressed?
I sat there and listened to Chip Kelly speak. The new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, if you haven't heard. He won me over. It was like, okay, he's a college coach. He won me over. He made many references. He said, you know, here in Philadelphia, you know, the one thing, you know, the second to the Super Bowl is the Wing Bowl, which is a big, big thing here in Philadelphia. The week before, the Friday before the Super Bowl, they have a wing eating contest. They call it the Wing Bowl. It's going on for almost 20 years. It's like, wow, he mentioned something that's in our city. It's kind of cool. He mentioned how people were, as I told Lindsay last night, how a few blocks from here is the airport, how they were tracking him like he's Santa Claus, he mentioned. And that, you know, he thought about that for a second, go, well, I guess that's a good thing, or maybe it's a bad thing, because I heard they boo Santa Claus here. Correction, we also throw snowballs at him. Just saying.
Welcome to Philadelphia.
Here's a snowball. So he's a fresh change of pace. I like it. And it's going to, I see big things happening in the next few years, because 14 years of one person, things need to change, and this is a nice step, and that's my sort of rant. I'm happy in a rant.
Good. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Chip Kelly's offense translates into the NFL.
Oh, and fuck Dallas. You're welcome.
I'd just like to say, go Falcons! Please, for the love of God, beat San Francisco. Please. Please. Defense, do not stop playing halfway through this freaking game.
Apparently Tommy has the 49ers winning.
Boo.
We shall see. It's going to make for some interesting
yes,
action on Sunday.
Oh, I should get to see the game. I'm so excited.
Yeah. In case you're unaware, well, Lindsay works nights over the weekends now, and well, they kind of screwed her with the Green Bay game and the Falcons game. Because, well, she saw most of the Green Bay game.
I saw most of the Green Bay game because I couldn't sleep, so I sat here and watched them lose, which pissed me off, and then I slept through the Falcons.
Falcons game, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, the Falcons have a 3 p.m. start, which for me is 1. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I should be awake. If I'm not awake at 1, then I will be awake at least through part of the game, so I'll see most of it. But I'm going to try to get up so I can see the game.
She sets her alarm. She just, well, it's called sleep.
Yeah, when you're up from midnight to 8 a.m. for 8 hours, it's really difficult to stay awake when you get home. So it's basically what I do is I come home, I go to sleep, and then I wake back up, and I'm up for the majority of the day. And I try to short my hours on my sleep in the morning so I can go to bed later in the day. And sleep later in the day, but that's neither here nor there. Nobody cares about that. But yeah, and I'm rooting for the Ravens. I want to see the Ravens win. F you, Tom Brady. and your hair. And your Dodge Dart. So yeah, so go Ravens, because I want to see Ray Lewis make it to the Super Bowl one more time.
Sounds good.
But on that note, I think we're going to go out for the evening. So, for Matt Goldberg, thank you very much for coming on our program. We very much enjoyed having you. You're welcome back anytime. Please keep us up to date on the status of Terrified. Can't wait to see it and any other productions that you're doing, because, like I said, he's going to be a guy to watch for in the future. He's a phenomenal talent. And if you guys haven't seen the stuff for Terrified, go Google it. Look it up. I think it's on Dailymotion. It's great. It's absolutely fantastic, so check that out. Thank you to our sponsors, PW Mania. Go there for all your news needs. And, of course, Memorabilia Lane for your continued support. And go to memlanepromo.com, where you can pick up promos of RVD, Kurt Angle, and Mr. Anderson for $8 if you put in the code ROCKSOCK. Next week, we'll be talking all about the Royal Rumble. Yay. And the continuation of Impacts. But for now, I'm going to go to bed. So, Rock, what else can we listen to on the network? Sorry, my brain just stopped.
I have no idea about tomorrow. Saturday night, midnight, is at CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks and Subway. A weird, wacky, unusual Sunday at Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein and the Omega, and we'll see. So check it out on Sunday night. Monday night's Raw post show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Me and Lindsay will cover Raw in about 45 minutes to an hour, and whoever else decides to show up and join us for the fun. Tuesday night's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. On the program we'll have Jimmy Superfly, Snuka, and Lance Hoyt. Wednesday night's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. 11 p.m. Eastern, it's a hockey show with Tim Stein, myself, and Scott Barry, where we find a way to take shots at Tim. WTOProductions.net. You say there's a show tomorrow? Yeah, we'll see. Go to CanadianAllPro.com for all your Canadian All Pro needs. Go to CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs. Buy his merchandise and pictures and stuff, because Lindsay will. Appreciate it. Go to Twitter.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Again, Tommy, we'll see.
The show is up in the air for tomorrow, we'll see.
Because the producer of that show has not even actually said if he's producing it or not. So, I turn it back over to Lindsay.
So, yes, go to CassidyRiley.net. Update coming soon. If you want to hear the great interview with Cassidy Riley that he did on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, go check out the archives. And, of course, go check out the archives of every program on this network, because every show is fantastic. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, which is psychwarddesigns.com. And, of course, like we keep pimping, go to CassidyRiley.net, because I'm the webmistress of the site. And stay tuned, because he apparently has big things in the work. So, for Rock, I am Lindsay Warden. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Night.
Your kill is a bullet, so are you ready to go? Are you ready to go?
www.TNA.com.